This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
It's 6 after on this Wednesday. Welcome to the program, 888-900-9966. Steve Gruber with you. If you'd like to find out more, please follow us on Facebook, The Steve Gruber Show. Go there and click like. This hour of the program brought to you in part by WheatJewelers.com. WheatJewelers.com statewide. If you're looking for something special that's Spartan jewelry involved, Wheat Jewelers is the place to go. Or if you need a really great engagement ring or something special in that regard, 3,000 engagement rings on hand. Plus, they'll make something custom. Plus, they'll ship it anywhere in the state for you. All you have to do is go to WheatJewelers.com. Talk to my good friends Kevin or Archie. They'll take care of you. And thank them for supporting the program. Marilyn Mosby, of course, is the prosecutor in the Freddie Gray case that we haven't talked about in a couple of weeks anyhow. Continues to make news for all the wrong reasons. First, her motion for a gag order in the case was dismissed because she filed in the wrong court. That, according to the Baltimore Sun. Judge Charles Peters ruled the motion lacked standing in an actual proceeding as it was filed by Baltimore State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby's office in circuit court on May the 14th. At that time, the officers' cases were still in district court. They weren't transferred to the circuit court until a week later when the officers were indicted. Mistakes like this aren't unheard of in litigation, but they smack of amateur hour. Second, it's been revealed that Mosby directed Baltimore police to ramp up their narcotics patrols with increased targeting at the exact intersection where Freddie Gray was arrested. Mosby's directive does not, of course, bear on the question of whether police officers committed crimes in their treatment of Gray after he was taken into custody. But an order to ramp up patrols isn't an invitation to injure people, but it is pretty clear that she told them to be there. And for her to complain about his arrest afterwards also seems like amateur hour. Mosby's directive seems to undercut what is left of the criminal charges she filed in connection with Gray's arrest as opposed to his treatment thereafter. You probably recall that Mosby originally based her charges on a false arrest and a claim that the knife that he had wasn't sufficient for arrest, so on and so forth. This case is falling apart as I predicted it would. She's moving to her fallback. She should just recuse herself. She should recuse herself from this case as she has been asked to do, but that hasn't happened. It's probably not going to happen. In other news, big news today, the president will receive officially his authority to negotiate trade deals today. The United States Senate, the Republicans that we're going to hold him to account, the Republicans that we're going to tell this president that no more, we're going to reel in this nonsense, have caved in. The feckless politicians have shown themselves to be exactly what they are. You know, the politicians that say, my God, he handed over 5 Taliban prisoners for a deserter, this guy. My God, he is doing a deal with Iran that could destroy the Middle East. These are the negotiations this president is involved in. My God, he did Obamacare behind closed doors, never read the text, and forced it through and got it passed. The Republicans saying, this is the guy we want to work with because this is a big deal and we trust him on trade. Really? How disingenuous can you be? You trust him on trade. You don't trust him on Obamacare. You don't trust him on national security. You don't trust him with the economy. You don't trust him with Benghazi. You don't trust him with anything. But my God, here on trade, all of a sudden, he is the man to be trusted. Do you see how that smacks in the face of common sense for most of us? Trust us. And the funny thing is, the person now that might cast the deciding vote, the person with the most power in the House of Representatives when it comes to putting the Trans-Pacific Partnership through, which will happen very quickly, that person is Nancy Pelosi. Anyhow, we'll talk more about that in a minute. And still to come this morning, we're going to talk about eminent domain from the government and how they're taking over and giving your giving people's property, private property, to developers to build malls and condos and things like that. Not what it's supposed to be used for, but the Supreme Court a few years ago ruled 5-4 that that was okay. And then we'll have Colonel Patrick Murray here, U.S. Army retired, author of the brand new book, Government is the Problem, talking about the new Cold War. And a bit later, Frank Farmer from American Metal Roofs will be here to talk about something really special with you and a big fraud that's going on out there. But first, I wanted to talk to Ivy, and I are working on a new project. I just wanted to take a breath and get away from the hard news for just a moment because I saw two new videos go up today. Ivy and I were approached about doing a program called Outdoor News and Entertainment on national TV, and we decided, yes, we would go ahead and do it. It's called One, and for you, Ivy, it's been an exciting project so far, kind of a fun thing to do. We'll be doing outdoor news for a variety of folks, and on what network?
Well, hopefully on the Outdoor Channel.
Right. We're working on the Outdoor Channel, and that's pretty much...
We're working on the details as we speak, but... yes, I mean, I think it's going to be exciting. There isn't really a source for outdoor news, and it's going to be a perfect place for people who like to hunt and fish or want to know about guns or want to know, you know, about the national news in regards to the outdoors.
It's the environment, right.
Absolutely. You
know, water quality, air quality, cleanup sites, things of that nature, and there's not a resource for it. You're right. And we are approached to doing this, and we are working out the details with the Outdoor Channel, which will deliver the program to about 50 million homes. And we make you aware of it because there's a Facebook page for One, Outdoor News and Entertainment, you can go to. And great video there. Mm-hmm. Ivy doing some glamour shots, whirling and twirling in front of the camera.
Glamour shots. It is true. Glamour shots and doing some stand-ups in regards to a sizzle reel that we were producing. But... You know, I saw it and I thought I did pretty good. It was my second time reading a prompter, so I have to kind of get some practice in with that.
You do just fine here, so it's just a matter of learning the prompter. And Debbie Shemansky, the other member of the on-air team, this all being put together by two companies, Wolf Creek Productions, which is a company I've been involved with for 20 years, and Optic. Optic is AHPTIC. Optic is a high-end production company located in the city of Lansing, and we're working in coordination with all these folks to put together this product. And it's going to be an interesting project because, you know, there is not a resource for those that hunt and fish or are involved with the outdoors, or you're concerned about, you want to find out the truth about global warming and climate change and how it affects different things, or avian flu or mm-hmm. chronic wasting disease and things that dig a little bit deeper. This will be the program for you that'll be on once a week. So I'm pretty excited about it.
I'm very excited. I think it's going to be an incredible thing, an incredible resource. So, and we get to be, you know, the one
on the front line.
On the front line, yeah.
Absolutely. So if you want to find out more, go to One, which is Outdoor News and Entertainment. Find it on Facebook. You can find out more. You can see Ivy and her national debut, if you will, which is kind of cool on the television. Well, not a national debut, but a national debut on sports or on news, if you will. See you. Anyhow, look forward to that. We'll tell you more about that in the weeks to come. It is 14 after the hour on the Steve Gruber Show. I'm just trying to keep you plugged into all the things that we're doing, and we'd like you to be plugged in as well. We'll be back right after this.
Michigan's radio program of record is the Steve Gruber Show. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, it's 18 after the hour, and heading in a bit of a different direction now. A few years ago, the United States Supreme Court ruled 5-4 that eminent domain could extend farther than previously considered. You see, eminent domain is supposed to apply to things like, well, we need to take your house so we can put in a fire station to help the community, or, you know, the interstate highway system has to run through here for this series of reasons. And if eminent domain happens, the government is supposed to give you fair market value, which has always been a battle. But then after the Supreme Court ruling, eminent domain extended to governments taking property and giving it to developers because they felt that was in the best interest of a community, which is not at all what the law was intended to do, but this is what has happened. One case study in New London, Connecticut, where an entire neighborhood was wiped out, and you know what's there now? Nothing. Nothing at all. There's grass and open lots. Darren Baxt is here to talk more about it. Darren Baxt is a research fellow in agricultural policy and property rights. Welcome to the program, Darren.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
You know, I've watched the stories about New London, Connecticut, in this community that was bulldozed, people's houses taken and bulldozed, and it's open, it's feral ground. I mean, it's weeds and grass and feral ground. Nothing has ever been done.
Yeah, what, you know, this is basically the 10-year anniversary of that case, the Kilo versus City of New London case, and you know, the Supreme Court is saying that the government can seize private property for economic development. And they wound up seizing, in New London, wound up seizing the property of some homeowners for the idea that they're going to revitalize the city. And not surprisingly, nothing exists now on the property that they seized. Now they're just empty lots. I mean, I guess one good thing is there's some feral cats running around, too. So I guess it benefited the cat.
Yeah, feral cats.
Other than that, that's about it.
Feral cats, the greatest carrier of disease of all wild animals in America. That's true, by the way. The city spent $78 million bulldozing the homes and preparing the area for development, but so far nothing has ever happened. So this went to the Supreme Court in June of 2005. Their ruling was handed down, so 10 years ago. The houses were bulldozed, $78 million. These families were forced out of the city and so on and so forth, and they lost, and yet the Supreme Court ruled that way. I wonder if there's any way to ever go back and revisit this case in front of the Supreme Court, or is that it? It's been ruled on once, and it stands for all time.
Well, I guess it's always possible, but my guess is it's going to be extremely difficult. And as it is, property rights have been gutted over the years. And to some people, the Kilo case wasn't that much of a shock. I think it is a shock. In the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution, it says property can only be taken for a public use. And that's a fairly narrow term, a public use. But over the years, the Supreme Court has basically changed public use to mean public purpose. So that effectively deleted public use out of the Fifth Amendment and gives the green light to government to seize property for whatever reason they want.
You see, and private property rights are a cornerstone to this republic. Private property rights are a cornerstone to free nations, I believe.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's, unfortunately, something that's been lost, certainly was lost over the 20th century and recently. Property rights have been gutted. Now, what states have done is some states have actually provided some protection in response to this Kilo case. But a lot of it is not strong enough, and ultimately the federal government itself needs to take action. I don't believe we're going to see any type of response by the Supreme Court. I think Congress, I mean, ultimately, in my opinion, I would love to see a constitutional amendment, personally. But at a minimum, I'd like to see Congress finally respond to what happened to Kilo with some legislation to make sure that people don't get property taken because some city wants to take it for a shopping mall.
Yeah, a constitutional amendment, the chance of that happening are somewhere between none and none.
And that's why I think the first thing certainly to focus on would be some legislation. And last year, the House did pass legislation that would have addressed, you know, some of these problems. I don't know that it was perfect legislation, but if there was wide bipartisan support, I don't have the exact vote count in front of me, but it was around 350 to 60 or something. So it's overwhelming support to kind of respond to that case. And now that we're at the 10-year anniversary of the Kilo case, it's time for Congress to finally provide the protection that property rights owners deserve and actually are entitled to under the Constitution.
Now, most of the members of Congress are more embroiled right now with making sure they get reelected. They don't much care about your property rights. They're out, you know, garnering money and going to fundraisers. And, you know, I hate to tell you the sad state of affairs, but that's true of Republicans and Democrats. And I was deeply disappointed that a conservative constructionist Supreme Court would have ruled in 2005 against the property owners in the first place on this case.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it wasn't horribly shocking, and there's a lot of things to be disappointed about with the Supreme Court. The good news was it was a 5-4 decision when a lot of these property rights cases in the past, eminent domain cases, have actually not been that close. So at least the court kind of realized if we allow the taking of property for economic development, we're basically providing no real protections anymore with the Fifth Amendment. And at least they kind of got that. At least some of the justices did.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the truth. Darren Baxt. I'll get that out.
There you go.
Baxt. I apologize. Anyhow, I appreciate your time. Research fellow in agricultural policy. Keep us informed if this is going to change. It's been 10 years. It would be nice to see Congress move on this, but I don't know if that's anytime soon. Thank you, my friend.
All right. Thank you so much.
There you have it. Darren Baxt here on the Steve Gruber Show. Policy involving private property. Private property is a cornerstone to the American Republic. Make no mistake. Private property rights are key to freedom and liberty and to a democracy or a republic, as it were. It's the Steve Gruber Show on a Wednesday. We'll be right back.
This is the Steve Gruber Show, bringing you the news and newsmakers that affect you most.
Generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerers.
33 after the hour, it's the Steve Gruber Show on a Wednesday. Thanks for dialing it in.
In the fields of body.
Appreciate your support. You know, with everything that's going on in the world, it seems that America has its guard down, distracted by a thousand other things, you know, not to mention that the Russians, you know, they took the Crimea, still pressuring on the border of Ukraine. Vladimir Putin wants to rebuild his empire, it seems, from where I sit. At least that's the way it looks. And it feels like the new Cold War is heating up. Colonel Patrick Murray here, U.S. Army retired, our next guest on the program. Colonel, welcome back.
Thanks, Steve. It's great to be back on.
Yeah, as you say in your book, the Ronald Reagan line, government is the problem. And the problem now, what if I ask somebody, and most people don't know the answer, well, what are one of the key tenets of the government's job? The number one thing for a government to do is to protect the nation, to protect the health and welfare of the nation. That's the number one thing for the government to do. And in this case, are they falling down on the job? It seems like it to me.
Provide for the common defense, Steve. It's right in the Constitution, and I agree with you. I think one of the tenets of Barack Obama is that he would just as soon that one presidential hat of commander-in-chief go away. And that's what's happening. When America goes AWOL in the world, the bad guys come out to play. You mentioned Vladimir Putin. I think he's doing exactly that.
Well, the Chinese are building their own islands now. They're building islands in the middle of the in the Pacific, and then they're going to claim that they have sovereign territorial rights around those islands that are being created, which is, that's a new twist on things.
It's an engineering feat out in the South China Seas. You're exactly right. They're essentially permanent aircraft carriers out there, for lack of a better term. They're bristling with weapons. They put runways on them so they can handle any plane in their inventory can land out there. And you're right. They're saying, hey, this is our sovereign territory. Back off.
Right. And therefore, right. So therefore, sovereign territory extends out into the ocean, of course. You know, this argument continues, you know, because they want to retaliate against the Japanese and others, I believe, and extend their force into the South China Sea and elsewhere. But so back to the Cold War portion, though, Putin is doing the same thing. He's nibbling around the edges, and you never know what he might do next, because the last couple of times he did things, we responded weakly, to say the least.
Well, we gave a tough speech, and then we went away. And you're right, Putin wants to get the band back together. And he's doing it. I think he knows he has a window of opportunity as long as Obama is in the White House, and he's going to make as many gains as he can. And that's why our allies over there, our NATO allies, specifically Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, and Poland, are getting nervous.
The one thing he did say, though, he said that he was going to move military equipment into Eastern Europe to defend Europe. He's going to move military equipment and so forth. So that should give the Poles and the Lithuanians, others, some pause to say, listen, okay, he's doing something here.
Well, that's right. Secretary of Defense Carter was over there not too long ago and made that announcement. It's a token for Steve. It's not anything that would deter or defeat the Russians, but it's a signal, and I think it is the right thing to do. And we're limited by the a treaty we have with the Russians that we cannot put substantial troops or hardware into those former Warsaw Pact countries. But we're putting enough in there to show some resolve, and I think that's important when it comes to dealing with Putin. One thing he understands is strength.
Right, but he, meanwhile, Putin is adding more ICBMs and intercontinental ballistic missiles to his arsenal. And if you look around, you know, I stood last year, Ivy and I did, my wife and I, at some Minuteman III silos. There was one sitting next to a house we stayed in Montana last year, but those are 40 or 50 years old now. There's some concern about the integrity of the wiring that runs to those missile silos and so forth. What is our deterrent that remains? We've done nothing to upgrade the Minuteman systems in decades. Where are we?
Well, you're right. Our nuclear arsenal is a little archaic, and it needs some upgrading. I don't think that's going to happen under this current administration. Meanwhile, Russia, they are doing their upgrades. You mentioned they're doing, or Putin has announced, 40 new ICBMs this year, and they claim they did 36 last year. Really, this is a part of a bigger upgrade. They've got brand new tanks, the T-14 Armada tank, and they believe that they're going to just continue to spend money to upgrade their entire military capability over the next 10 years or so.
We do have something, however, that I think is still the best there is. The USS Michigan, the USS Ohio, Trident-class nuclear submarines, each of which has 28 missile tubes, each of which can carry 10 nuclear warheads. So that's 280 warheads per boat, and there's a lot of it, and there's a lot of firepower. We do have that deterrent out there cruising around.
Well, our boomers, there's 14 of them, you're right. That's part of our nuclear triad with ICBMs and bombers and then the submarines. Now, by the treaty that Obama negotiated with the Russians, we're going to have to shut down four silos per boomer, per submarine, but they'll still have quite a bit of capability, and I think that's a fundamental component of our nuclear triad.
Well, I don't know if that, you go from 280 nuclear warheads to 240. I don't know if that makes much difference overall. And the beauty of the Trident class, the boomers, is they can go silent for 6-8 months at a time. Nobody knows where they are.
That's right. And that's a concern that Russia has. And they're going to try to deal with that as best as they can. And the four silos is not substantial. It's just, I was just mentioning, that's part of our treaty agreement that we have with them. But at the same time, in terms of ground forces, that's what we're going to deal with in Eastern Europe with the Russians. And you mentioned earlier, we're watching them eat up Crimea, Eastern Ukraine, and with those Baltic states, Steve, they have about a 25% Russian diaspora.
So those are leading back to that.
He claims, well, they're being abused. We have to go in and protect them.
Right. That's always, human rights. That's our number one concern. We're on the phone with
exactly.
Colonel Patrick Murray here, U.S. Army retired. You know, Colonel, I think I've got this figured out. All we need to do is get a really nice reset button and slap that. We'll be in good shape.
Wouldn't that be perfect? We can do that. We can send Hillary Clinton over there again.
And, please. We could send her over there.
Button, which really says overcharge.
Yeah.
That was embarrassing.
Now, if we send Hillary over there again, do we have to take her back or can they just go ahead and keep her? I'll give you 20 seconds for the last word.
I think she likes Russian food. So send her on over there. And I think that'd be a great thing for us.
I don't disagree with that. Colonel, always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you for having me on, Steve.
Yeah, Colonel Patrick Murray, U.S. Army retired, author of the brand new book, Government is the Problem. Yeah, that some would say, I think Ronald Reagan famously said that, 41 after the hour. This part of the program brought to you by AmericanMetalRoofs.com. See dozens of pictures of American Metal Roofs' finest work at AmericanMetalRoofs.com. In fact, stick around, and we'll talk to the president and CEO of American Metal Roofs, Frank Farmer, right here on the Steve Gruber Show. It's a Wednesday.
Steve Gruber Show. Jump starting your day with the news that matters.
45 after the hour on this Wednesday. Welcome to it. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Thanks for dialing it in. I'm going to take a moment now and talk to our good friend Frank Farmer here from American Metal Roots. Frank, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Steve.
Glad to have you here. And you asked me during the break if I picked up that metal. Yes, Ivy and I built the world's greatest chicken coop using some American Metal Roof components. And honestly, we just had these colossal rainstorms here. No joke. And, you know, it took it like a champ. I mean, it's kind of like a test model. It is the world's greatest chicken coop, though. But the American Metal Roof was outstanding. It performed above and beyond, and so there you go. There's another testament to your quality.
Well, that's a first. You know, I had a guy come in and put it on his hunting blind.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we have roofs that are made for homes, and they had a really nice hunting blind, and then when you need it for your chicken coop, so yeah.
It's a groundbreaking.
We're honored.
Yeah, we're forging out there, you know, to talk about it. But during the break, we talked about the fact that, you know, when you first came into the market and told folks that a metal roof, it's going to cost you more, but it's going to last for everyone. People say, well, you've got a 50-year shingle. You know, I've had a lot of 50-year shingles that, you know, on houses that I've owned, either houses that I lived in or rental houses that look like potato chips after 10 or 12 years because they cup up and they're destroyed. But the other scam that's going on now, you say people are using like a barn metal and going out there and say, well, this is just the same thing. Don't you worry about it. And they're bam, 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 and they staple it into your roof or however they attach it, and disaster soon follows.
You know, when we started this business based on integrity back year 2000, is really based on God, family, and business, and we meant it. And we went on a campaign to educate people about asphalt roofs and that the 30, 40, and 50-year roof they had that was going to last 10 and 12 years, and some people were skeptical, and now they're all believers because they're seeing it happen. And it's quite interesting what happened. We started getting, quite honestly, death threats into myself.
Really?
From contractors because we were exposing them. And really, I didn't give up, and we educated people. But now we're seeing a whole new revolution happening that people are moving on to metal. Now we've got contractors out there who are out selling barn metal. I'm talking about thin barn metal.
Like the stuff, like the siding type stuff?
Just very thin corrugated metal that's made to be put on a pole barn
or
a chicken coop, and they're putting it on people's houses. And there's a huge difference. When in a barn, if you get a drip in a barn and it falls on your pig's head, he moves over. And he doesn't matter. You get that in your house and it starts to mold. And here's what we're seeing, Steve. We're seeing people getting a quote on a real metal roof, whether it's from us or a reputable metal roof company. And then you get the unscrupulous ones that come along and say, I've got a roof that's just like theirs. It's just cheaper. And if you can imagine taking a sheet of metal and putting it on a roof, this metal will expand 1/8 inch on 10 feet. So on the 30-foot run, you've got 3/8 inch of expansion. Those fasteners that are going down through that metal into the wood, as that metal expands and contracts, just wiggles that fastener back and forth.
And that happens every day, week after week. And sooner or later, those are going to pop out of there. All right. So you think your house is protected, but the water starts, instead of going on the pig's head, it drips into your attic, into the insulation, wherever. Mold calls its friends. Mold has a party, and mold starts spreading throughout the neighborhood.
Yes. We're seeing houses destroyed. And people need to really understand and get educated about metal and understand what is a quality metal roof and what isn't, because they don't know.
So it's not all the same.
No, not at all.
No, not all metal is created equally, is what you're telling me.
You know, barn metal was never intended for a house. As a matter of fact, agricultural metal should never be used on a heated structure. And that's where we draw the line. We get calls every week, maybe daily, where people want to get barn metal. They see it on a house. They think it's great. They know it's cheap. They've seen a sign stapled on a telephone pole that says metal cheaper than asphalt. And the reality is barn metal is cheaper than asphalt.
But in real reality, how thick is the roof you put on? Comparatively speaking.
It's not about thickness. These roofs are certified to 110 mile an hour wind. Matter of fact, the tornado that just went through Portland, we had a customer that was in that line. They lost 3 shingles. We went out and took care of those 3 shingles. Now, if they'd been hit direct blunt and tore the roof off, it's not covered. But these roofs are certified at 110 miles an hour. They're tested at 200 miles an hour. But the real issue is this. A true metal roof is put on with a clip, and that metal can expand and contract. It has to.
Right. But it doesn't bore into your plywood, into your planking.
It's all hidden fastener. You don't have any fasteners going through the roof.
Right.
A pole barn, you screw right down through it, and as it starts to leak, it just molds out of house.
And so then it's just about your business. You said you started in 2000, of course. 15 years later, you're serving people all across the state of Michigan. Great success. I mean, you're a business that has a Michigan success story, too. I mean, you have a lot of people working. You have a lot of people out there putting on quality roofs. And you're good for the economy.
Yes. Steve, we have two locations, one in Charlotte, Michigan, and one in Flint. And we've become the not bragging, just the largest source for metal roofing.
It's not bragging if you're telling the truth.
Not in the Midwest. We're telling the truth. We've helped a lot of people. You know, really, I don't care whose roof they put on. People need to get educated before they get, you know, like that pole barn, before they get screwed.
And can I go ahead and talk about this right here?
You sure can.
Okay, because I got some good news for the listeners of the program here. Because starting Monday, June 30th, listeners right here at the Steve Gruber Show will be able to take advantage of a very special offer, a free discount card. It's good all summer, by the way, for $500 off an American Metal Roof. Now, we don't pretend to say that American Metal Roofs are less expensive than asphalt. They're not. You'll pay more money, but it's an investment in your house, a long-term investment. We know that, Frank. And if they make an appointment in July, Frank, you say you're going to double this to $1,000.
Absolutely.
$1,000 if they book in the next, well, they get a little more than a month. They got about 5 weeks to figure it out.
Exactly. Starting next Monday, if they go on the website, click on your site, they're going to get a $500 gift coupon, and any appointment made in the month of July will double that.
There you go. So there you have it from Frank Farmer. And Frank, always a pleasure to have you here. You're a good partner for the program. I appreciate your support.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
And and sometime you need to come by and check out the chicken coop, because it is the greatest thing you will ever see. Frank Farmer, everybody, from American Metal Roofs. You can find out more at AmericanMetalRoofs.com. And starting Monday, a $500 gift ticket will be doubled if you take aim on a metal roof before the end of July. Thank you to American Metal Roof for their sponsorship of this hour right here on the Steve Gruber Show.